Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Getting Better Show. We are here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Grapevine, Texas, NRB. And I am here and so grateful that he made time for me today to talk to Hermos Shariat. And he is from Iran, and he has a book called The Great Awakening of Iran. Tell me the name of it.
Iran's Great Awakening.
Pull it.
Iran's Great Awakening, yeah.
And it is such a fascinating story. And I want to know mostly, like, I want to know about the book, okay?
Yeah.
But I want to know what in the world brought you to be brave enough to do everything you're doing over there.
Well, the Lord saved me, and when you're saved, you become brave because you can't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
God changed my life. I was born as a Muslim in Iran and came to U.S. for graduate studies. That's when I got interested in becoming a good Muslim. I was pretty devout in my early years, but when I grew up in my teenage years, I focused on more science and studies. So I read Quran in order to dedicate my life to serving Islam, even though I knew a lot about it because I was a Muslim before, but I was searching. So I read Quran. It didn't satisfy my soul. I said, if God has written other books, I'm open-minded. I'm going to read other books. So I got a Bible and read Genesis, then jumped to New Testament, Matthew, and then there I encountered Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He is not the one that Islam tells me about.
No.
I thought Islam is the most complete religion and Quran is the most complete book. But here, the beautiful things in Sermon on the Mount, for example, they're not in Quran. So why is not, if it's Quran is the most complete book? So I went to a few months of study and comparing to religions, and I couldn't find answers because the more I compared, the more different they were.
Right, they're very different.
Both could not be true. So somebody invited me to church. I heard the simple message of the gospel that even a child can understand.
I believe,
and my life was changed. So I got excited. I said, wow, you don't need to have a PhD. I have a PhD in artificial intelligence.
Do you really?
Yes.
Artificial intelligence?
I did 11 years of research on that before.
So I was a programmer for EDS. They called us systems analyst, systems designer, right?
Okay.
In my previous life. And you, in your previous life, do you still do any AI?
Use them. Now I'm a user.
You do. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So I said, this thing is so powerful that it can change people. It changed my life. It healed my marriage. And it can change nations. And I'm selfish if I keep that to myself. So I hope everybody feels that way. That you have the answer to personal problems, relational problems, to even society problems. And we Christians, if we don't share that, we are selfish. And we shouldn't be.
But you are in a very dangerous place to do that.
And I was in America.
You were in America?
Yeah.
So how old were you?
I was 24, 25.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great age to do that. Yeah. But you've gone back to Iran since
then. I can't. They would love me back. And they even give me life threats in living in Dallas. You live in Dallas, right?
I live in Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
They do give you life threats here.
Yeah.
Through the computer, or how does that come? Phone calls?
All over. Oh. Yes, they send me text, and not recently they have done some videos against me. You know what they do? I think they have a team, because one person cannot do. They listen to all my teaching sermons and pick and things that I say in the middle and put them together to share a message to discredit me.
Like fake news. All those things in like
news.
Facebook does, you know? Like, don't listen to us. This is bad. This is this is conspiracy. How do they do it in the Muslim world?
Yeah, they pick that. For example, I was talking at one time that, you know, this channel belongs to you. We don't have financial resources, and if you don't support us, this cannot continue. It was like a telethon. And then at another program, I was sharing about how God gave me vision. I said, they didn't take this part. I said, I was a pastor and didn't have income to do great things for vacation. One of our members gave us a cruise vacation, paid for it.
Wow.
So I was on a cruise, and during the cruise, I was just praying for Iran. And these are the revelations God taught me during the cruise about Iran and what I need to do. So guess which part they took out. I went on a cruise, and they would bring all these clips of beautiful things happening in the cruise, and they would put clips of me asking for money, and I went on the cruise, and they showed the cruise. So
you're such a bad man. You're just out for money.
I get the money to go on a cruise, yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what they do now over here.
That's right, yeah.
And so you actually had a heart for other Muslims, and you wanted to share your faith with them.
That's right.
So did you do it here, or did you do it in Iran?
I started doing it here. I evangelized Muslims in Northern California, planted several churches among Iranian Muslims there. And after September 11, I said, it's getting too late. We got to do something. So we bought 1 hour of airtime from a secular channel. We broadcast the gospel to Iran. And from day one, we saw so many people contact us, so hungry for the gospel. We started leading people to Christ from day one. And it was only 1 hour a week.
Wow.
So it grew to be more and more hours, and we started the 24/7 hour satellite. And we came to Dallas 10 years ago and started 24/7. We beamed the gospel over the heads of the mullahs. They cannot stop it, because the signal comes from the sky. We go to the privacy of people's homes, and all doors are locked, so they're not afraid, and we tell them about Jesus. And you know what? Iran is no longer an Islamic nation.
You know, I saw that in your book when you said that, and who knows that, right?
Yeah,
so
no,
they spin that then. That's all what they make it sound like.
Yeah.
And our leaders can make it sound like.
Well, you're wrong. You're exaggerating. Exaggeration is a kind of lying. No, I don't lie. And they say, you Google it. It's 98% Muslim. I said there was, I have been saying that from gut feeling, but a few months ago, just less than 6 months ago, there was a survey done by two university professors in Europe, non-Christians. They asked about 50,000 people, what do you believe? Iranians. 50,000 Iranians, what do you believe? Can you believe that? Less than one-third, actually 32.8% said we believe in Islam.
So it's only 30% of the population. That is interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting. So it's the minority.
Minority.
And the minority can make it look like they're majority.
Well, if you're in power.
If you're in power.
Yeah. If you're in power, you have all the media, you have all the money, mm-hmm. you have all the decision-making power. So that's why you hear in the news, death to America, death to Israel, mm-hmm. and you go to Iran, they love Americans.
That is amazing. That is amazing. So it is very similar to the media here in that non-Christians are not the minority,
yeah.
but they make it look like we're a very small minority.
That's right.
And definitely there, at least in America, we have been led to believe that it's like I don't want to say 100%. Of course not true. But that it's definitely the majority there, but you're telling me it's the minority. That's so great to hear.
The Christians are not majority yet. It's growing. Iran has the fastest growing evangelical population. So less than one-third, they said, we believe in Islam. Another one-third say they were like atheists and agnostics, saying there's no God, or there is God, but it doesn't relate to my life. And the last one-third are people who are looking at Christianity, looking at Eastern religion, looking at all the kinds of New Age. They're looking everywhere except Islam. Islam is done. They're not looking into Islam. Islam has experienced its greatest defeat in its history in Iran today.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
So you started this when you were 24. When was that? What year back then?
You want to calculate my age? I'm 65.
No. How many years have you been evangelizing the Muslims?
From day one, I felt I need to do that. And at those days, this was after revolution, not many people were open. But God used the hardship of revolution, the oppression of the Islamic government over the last few years, 40 years, to bring the people of Iran to a point that they say, Islam is not our answer, Islam is our problem, and we need to get rid of it. So it was gradual. The first few years was hard. I would work hard for 6 months on somebody who wanted to know about Christ. Somebody was interested, but took me 3 to 6 months to bring him to Christ. Now, with the simplest message on our channel, people start calling. Simple.
So what is your channel?
It's called, our ministry is called Iran Alive.
Iran Alive.
But our channel is called Shabakeh 7 or Network 7. And the reason we chose that network or name Shabakeh is because that's the word the government uses for its own television channel. So they have Network 1, Network 2. So that network is very familiar to Iranians' ears. So but they have only 6, so we jumped at 7.
That's great. How perfect. That's perfect. 7. Yes. So could we hear it? Can we hear it here?
Yeah. It's of course, it's on the satellite, but we stream it 24/7. You can go to our website, iranaliveministries.org. Or you can go to shabakeh7.com. So we don't do it in English side because it's all Farsi. We don't want to bother our English speaking. But we do stream. We do stream in the U.S.
So how would someone like me find out your simple message? And for you, they listen to you because you can do it in Farsi. Would it work like that with just a regular English speaking?
Yes, that's one area. People say, how can we help you? How can we serve the Middle East? We have a 24/7 satellite broadcast. I'm only there 2-3 times a week.
Wow.
It's just so many hours open. And we have partners, and I'm looking for more partners. We have R.C. Sproul. We have Michael Youssef. We just added Billy Graham's sermons. So if you have a heart for the Middle East, and if you have media ministry, you can have your program, your teaching program, on our channel, Discipling a Nation. That's one good
way
to do it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you have been in danger. I can tell that because you were talking about the death threats like they were nothing. So have you ever been in danger over there when you go there?
I cannot go there. So
I know you can't now.
Yeah,
but
no, I won't go there.
Good. I'm glad. They would be waiting for you.
That's right. They want me there. That's right. But we have brave. See, our channel is not just evangelism. We are encouraging Christians to evangelize, to start house churches. Discipleship, we have planted a large underground house church network and feeding it through media. So they are growing. Now, you're talking about me, brave? No, but compared to those young leaders that you have trained, I'm a coward. Okay, they are so brave.
Isn't that amazing when I think that in America, we don't know what that's like. And we're getting more and more afraid,
Let me share
brave.
A story of this brave. They just popped my. I was training these leaders, and I cannot go to Iran, but I can bring them out. I train them in a third country, like Turkey or other countries. So I brought some young people, leaders. They were leaders of leaders, underground church. and teach them day and night. They're so hungry, never get tired. And every night, we go. The teachers get tired, go to their rooms, and they start worshiping from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.,
wow.
singing, worshiping, dancing, making new songs. Just so it was after the conference was over, they were going back the next day. So everything was over. I was sitting, and they were singing, dancing, circles, and worshiping Jesus. I said, do they know they can be arrested tomorrow? Even at the airport, because if they have their names in a list, airport is the place they get arrested. Maybe I didn't teach them well, I thought. Maybe I should teach them more about persecution. Maybe they're delusional.
Because they're not aware of the danger.
Danger. So I interrupted their worship. I said, sit down, I have one more lesson. So they respectfully sat down, and I taught them out of the Bible the reality of persecution, that it's a part of our faith, especially if you serve him. And you may be called to pay the highest price. Even death might be there. So I trained them, talked to them about persecution. You know what they said? Of course, they sat down respectfully, and they listened to me for a half hour. They said, Pastor Mose, don't worry about us. We know what we got into. When we were Muslims, we are ready to die for Allah, who is a distant and cruel God. How much more we are ready to die for Jehovah, who is an intimate and loving God. We know what we got into. Don't worry about us. Now, excuse us, can we go back to the Jesus party? You interrupted us. We were worshiping Jesus. So that's
like, okay.
What the type of grace God is pouring on those people. They're not afraid.
Well, because they've been taught to give their life, right? And we haven't been taught to give our life like that.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing. Now, it's interesting when you were talking, because the movie that Timothy Mahoney here at NRB is promoting is, what is it, The Times of Fire? Or it's the, what is the movie? But it's about the seven churches in Revelation that Paul is talking to, and that earlier on when he's talking about, basically it's about being prepared.
Yeah.
In the end times, being prepared as Christians, how we should live now.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like that's how they're living there.
Yes.
And we could learn from them.
We must. And they need us, and we need them. We need them because of their passion for Christ, and they need us because of our teaching. Sometimes I feel we have so much teaching, good teaching in the West, we do, but a little obedience. They know a little bit, and they obey a lot. So we need to learn obedience from them and passion for Christ, passion to live for him. And they can learn from us Bible teaching. We have so many good Bible teachers in America.
We do.
Yeah.
I think that people take for granted grace here.
Yeah.
You know, they know about grace, that we live in a time of grace. But it's crazy what comes along with obedience when obey God.
Yeah.
And you don't miss so much of him moving.
That's right.
And I think over when you get it, either someone dies or you're just really down, broken, or terrified, right? Things like that, you get closer to God.
Yeah.
And I think for them, they're just much more aware because they live in a dangerous time for them.
Yes, that's right.
And I know that more and more people, even for our show, are listening because they're more afraid.
Yeah.
It's really kind of crazy for us as humans that it all of us that it takes that and
right.
So it's just so you are very much made for such a time as this, right?
I think all of us are made for such a time as this, in
right
our own
now.
Field and,
right
and where God has put us
and and who would have known everything that was going to happen in the last year, right? So it's like, where are we? And so tell me about your book.
Yeah, it's called Iran's Great Awakening. It's available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and everywhere. And I can give you an easier way to get it by contacting us. It has three parts. The first part is my spiritual journey and being a Muslim, coming to Christ, and confronting the spirit of Islam, confronting the Prince of Persia, Daniel chapter 10. Yeah,
yes.
It's a dark spirit over Iran.
Right.
So there has been drama and trauma in my life, and I hope the first part will encourage people to stand firm. Don't give up. The second part is a careful study of the prophecies in the Bible about Iran. Those who are interested in prophecy, that would really bless them. And number three, the third section is, how do we go from here? How can we align our will with God's will, what we do with God, what God wants to do, if we align ourselves with God, Iran will be transformed.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's exciting. So you're here. How long's your book been out?
How long have I been?
How long's your book been out?
Oh, just a few months. Ten months now. Oh, yeah. Wow. Last fall.
Yes. What a great time to bring that out. I'm excited about that. And I don't want to keep you. I know you have a lot to do here. And I just thank you for taking time for us on the Getting Better show.
Thank you, Anne. I appreciate you and your show. I pray that people will be encouraged. You know, all of this is work of grace. I like the name of the program. It's all the work of grace. People in Iran, they need more grace. God gives them more grace. And if you need more grace in your life, it's available for every situation.
Yeah. Yes, it is available. So how do they ask for it?
By faith.
By faith.
By faith. Goodness. Believing in the goodness of God and that God is sufficient. That He is sufficient for every situation. You start from there, then you ask, and you receive.
Let me ask you a question, because I really admire you. How do you start your days every day? Do you have a pattern to your mornings?
Most mornings, I have promised myself to, when I wake up, to wake up with Bible verse and go to bed with Bible verse. And it hasn't been always like that, but the last few months, I'm forcing to make it a habit, and that's what I do right now.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
God bless.
And just remember, guys, we're here at NRB all week, and we just thank you for joining us. And remember, keep getting better.
Thank you.
Really good.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. So good. Yes, I have.